Popo, and the point is to understand that on both cases there is a high respect. Thank you for that. That is just being minuted correctly. All my members, we go immediately to our reports. The first one is the report of the Select Committee on Finance on the Rates and Monetary Amounts and Amendment of Revenue Laws Amendment Bill. This is a very important piece of legislation. This report was sent to you last night. I worked through it. I amended it. You have received this morning the amended version. So I'm going to give you the time to Mr. Andrew, the pages are not numbered. You must number the pages. Let's call it then the front page, actually page one. And I'm going to give you the opportunity to read that page. What is captured there is the introduction. What does the bill imply? Consultation process followed by the National Treasury as Treasury represented to us. And then 44 written comments was submitted. This report features also the sugary beverage levy. On page 2, which is not there, but just put the 2 at the bottom of the page, consultation process by Honorable Samandi. We are busy with the Rights and Monetary Amounts Amendment Bill. Yeah. Have you received on Samandi your documentation in Braille? I'm always asking you the same question, but it's important. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Thank you. Consultation process by NEDLAC. The consultation process by NEDLAC is a very important activity because it doesn't stop. It carries on. And NEDLAC must come and report to us on a quarterly basis. You'll find that later in the report. Because it involves the stakeholders. Treasury had also a consultation process on other parts of the bill. Can you just, Treasury, just speak to that?
Chairperson, may I, before that, speak on that, like,
yeah.
Can I be opportunistic and ask that you consult with the Select Committee on Trade and International Relations when NEDLAC is coming to you because of the work that the portfolio committee
is
doing?
You must bring that in our observations, recommendations. You made a submission yesterday somewhere, and you sent me emails. I want you to let me put it on record, and let that become part of the report, please. Thank you for sensitizing me, because that was an important exercise the Honorable Makoe is referring to. Treasury.
I thought Honorable Makoe is saying in the future, so that it becomes part of our program.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it cannot form part of the report. That's my problem. When you say it must become part of the report.
Okay. Is that the intention?
The intention is purely, Chair. You said that the consultation process with NEDLAC is not complete.
Yeah.
This committee will also meet with NEDLAC.
Yeah.
And my request was only to say, can this committee considering consulting with the Select Committee on Trade and International Relations when you meet with NEDLAC?
The answer is yes. The answer is definitely yes.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Honourable Members. As you have said, the rates bill had two parts. The first part was the introduction of the 45% rate, that is the bigger part, and then the increase in the withholding tax on dividends, and then the other bracket changes and threshold adjustments. And then the other part of the rates bill related to the health promotion levy. We ran two consultation processes. There was a separate consultation process for health promotion levy and separate reporting to the Standing Committee on Finance, and a separate consultation process for other changes in the rates bill not related to the health promotion levy. Our slide 6, which we presented on the 28th of November, has the separate consultation process for other issues in the rates bill not related to the health promotion levy.
Slide 6.
That's presented on 28 November.
That will be captured, Esther Solani, that will be captured in the report, please. Page 2, members. Process followed by the Select Committee on Finance. Page 3, the design features, referring to the HPL. I think it's important to note the concessions that was made. Again, Mr. Andrew, page 3, you must number the page 3. You satisfied with page 3, members? Thank you. I go to page 4, where we look at our observations. I do put to members 4.1. Mindful of what Honorable McQueen just said. 4.2. 4.3. There's an agreement to the observations because We go straight to 5 recommendations.
My recollection, Chair, is that we propose that the money be taken into the National Revenue Fund. That's the recommendation of the committee.
In that way, thank you, Honorable Shukri, Honorable Makui.
Chairperson, this matter on sugary taxes, I know for this committee it might just be about the taxes, but if we talk to Minister Mushaledi, it's about health. And thinking of Honorable Mushab Shuping in particular, where he raises the question about broader consultation. I find it strange that in this report nothing is said about any deliberations or consultations with the Department of Health, or at least with a select committee on health, because the reason why we as government are introducing this is because we are concerned about the health of people. It's not only a tax matter.
You're 100% correct, Honorable McQueen. There must be a point added in the recommendations when we monitor this process. It must be jointly with the department, select committee on health. You're right. It must be added. Esther, you've got it. Solani, Honorable Monarchy.
It's a petition was raised in your previous and I thought you agreed on it. But the point that Honorable Mushibin raised in our one, is it not covered in terms of that last point, that's the recommendations? Or is it 5.4? Is it not covered by 5.4?
So the committee recommends 5.4, that some of the revenue from the levy be used to implement health promotion interventions targeting non-communicable diseases. Do you want to add anything more, honorable members?
I just wanted to emphasize, Chair, that tax collection would not be specifically for a specific purpose. Once it is in the National Revenue Fund, it can be used across. We were talking about servicing the poorest of people.
Yeah, I support him 100%. Yes.
You want to take 5.4 out?
No.
Oh. Okay. Members, I put the report of the Select Committee on Finance on the Rates and Monetary Amounts and Amendment of Revenue Laws Bill to the committee. I asked the question. The question is that the committee agreed to the bill without amendments. I put the question. I move for adoption is Honorable Monakedi. Can I get a seconder? Honorable Moslashupi seconds. Honorable members, that concludes the report. I note Honorable Esak.
On the same bill, Chairperson, I'd just like to raise about the Democratic Alliance objects and that it be minuted, please.
Thank you. That will be captured as well.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Esa. Honorable members, that deals with that report. We just underline this. Then we go to the Taxation Laws Amendment Bill. Taxation Laws Amendment Bill. We got that presentation. It was actually mentioned by the Minister of Finance on the 22nd of February in his speech on page 38 in the budget review document. So it has been implemented already. I put the report to the committee. The Select Committee, having considered and examined the Taxation Laws Amendment Bill, B27 of 2017, National Assembly Section 77 referred to it as classified by the JTM as a money bill, reports that it has agreed to the bill without amendments. I put this to the committee. I see Honorable Issa.
We move and we support.
Honorable Esak moves for adoption. Honorable Monakedi seconds. Thank you. That deals with that one. Now we come to the administration part. The three bills, honourable members, forms a package. It forms a package. That was how it was introduced as well. I put this to the committee, the Select Committee on Finance, having considered and examined the Tax Administration Laws Amendment Bill, B28 of 2017, National Assembly, Section 75, as referred to it and classified by the JTM as a Section 75 bill, reports that it has agreed to the bill. I put this to the committee. Move for adoption. Honourable Isaac.
Chairperson, I move that we support the bill.
Honourable Isaac moves for adoption. Can I get a seconder? Honourable Monarchy. With the admin bill. Honourable members, the other presentation we received was on the insurance bill. If you remember, we also related it to the Financial Sector Regulation Act, which we dealt with in the beginning of the year. Presentations that was made. I put this to the committee, the Select Committee on Finance, having considered and thoroughly examined the Insurance Bill B1B, 2016, National Assembly, Section 75, referred to it and classified by the JTM as a Section 75 bill, report it has agreed to the bill. I put the question on Bill Essock.
Chairperson, before you put the question, may I say something?
You are welcome to say something, Honourable Essock, you're a member of the committee.
Thank you, Chair. No, I just thought, I don't want to waste the time of people because some people have to travel and obviously we're operating under time constraints. Chairperson, yes, you know, we took the briefing by National Treasury day before yesterday, 48 hours ago, am I right? Wednesday morning, if I'm correct. And I take cognizance of what National Treasury had to say, and I obviously thereafter read went back and, as you always advise us, to go and do some homework. So I went and did some homework and read up on it. And then I inquired and asked one or two questions to educate myself. The question that arose is the Prudential Authority is an extension of the Reserve Bank, if I'm correct. Well, it's part of the Reserve Bank. There you go. Okay. It's the structure of the Reserve Bank. Now, the question arises is that, and I scribbled it again now, the Financial Sector Council, in National Treasury's briefing, when we picked up from Momo, it's apparent that the Financial Sector Council has not been consulted or been on board as far as this is concerned. Yes, Prudential Authority, which is an extension or part of the Reserve Bank, is co-joined. National Treasury explained very clearly what the circumstances are and about regulating the industry. But the question is that the Financial Sector Council, which is also then an extension of the Department of Trade and Industry, no mention has been made of it as far as regulating this. So the question also arises even further, is that we have taken, and with due respect, I say this with due respect, we have not taken any public hearings on this. You will realize that, Chairperson. Now, I just wanted to say and express myself that, you know, we are an independent committee, Chairperson. In fact, we are from the upper house, we are the Senate. We
know the NGOP.
Exactly, yes, but I mean, we are an independent committee. And I don't see why we should always just be digesting whatever comes out of the NA. I mean, what is so wrong about us getting the public hearings? I just want to raise this. Why do we not get public hearings? We're asked here to decide and support a bill. Yet you and I and the rest of my colleagues have not had any public hearings on the matter so that we could debate and weigh the pros and cons, like we had on the sugar tax bill the other day in Palm Court. That's what I wanted to say, Chairperson. Thank you.
Noted. Any other member? Treasury, regarding the consultation, can you come in there, please?
Thank you very much. We certainly note the query from the Honourable Member. Just to respond on the first part of your query about the Financial Sector Council, now my understanding is that the Financial Sector Council is more of sort of a sectoral advisory body that sort of has engagements upon regulation in the financial sector. And in terms of the Financial Sector Regulation Act, which has been passed, there is a council that's established there that will come into operation, which will certainly be drawn, and it has involvement of PPI and the other body, other departments, and the National Council of Regulators, and the Financial Intelligence Center. It's designed to be a broad consultative body to deal with financial stability issues and also financial sector regulation issues. So that's a very important body that's established in terms of that act. And this legislation will fall under the scope of the Financial Sector Regulation Act. This is a sectoral law that is implementing further regulation specifically for the insurance sector. So there will be a few pieces of more specific legislation that fall under the broad ambit of the overall regulatory framework that was established by the Financial Sector Regulation Act. So everything that's in the Financial Sector Regulation Act, it applies in relation to all of the various sectors in the financial sector that and the legislation that falls under the Financial Sector Regulation Act. So it's part of a very broad framework. So in this legislation, it doesn't specifically deal with that aspect of sort of more consultative oversight and engagement in relation to the insurance sector, because that's dealt with in terms of the Financial Sector Regulation Act. And so there will certainly be engagement on a very wide range of issues all across the financial sector and relating to each of the different types of industries in the financial sector. So I hope that sort of explains the first part of the question. And then just to fill the committee in a bit further, and I have provided, unfortunately, a relatively limited number of copies of some of the submissions and responses that were prepared during the consultation processes in the select committee, which shows the breadth of the engagement and the breadth of submissions and that were received during that engagement and how they were thoroughly considered and responded to. So just to touch briefly on the history of the process, the bill was originally tabled in Parliament in January 2016, and prior to that there had been a broad public consultation process in 2015, and there's a very lengthy document, I think it's been circulated electronically to members, that sets out all the responses and submissions we received during that initial public consultation process. And so then there were public hearings held in the Select Committee on the 7th of February of this year, and 18 submissions were received from a wide range of stakeholders.
I think that was a standing committee of mine.
Yeah, the standing committee, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, so my apologies. And then on the 10th of May, the National Treasury provided responses to submissions on the bill that were made during that process. And some of the participants in the hearings further responded to those responses that were made, and Treasury responded to those queries in the further deliberations in the Standing Committee on the bill. And then in September, October this year, there were some amendments that had been proposed in response to public comments to the schedules to the insurance bill, schedules 1 and 3, particularly relating to licensing and the transition of licensing for existing licensees into the new regime to convert their licenses to fall within the new framework that would be established. And so those proposed amendments were circulated and put out for public comment for a two-week period in October 2017, and submissions were received, and copies of those submissions have also been circulated to members that relate specifically to those schedule amendments, and responses were provided to those amendments, and they were discussed at the standing committee meeting on the 8th of November this year. And a key issue that was really raised and was considered very thoroughly throughout the deliberations process was the promotion of access of emerging entrepreneurs and professionals into the financial sector and in the insurance industry. And so amendments were developed to promote, particularly to address transformation and inclusion. And those were included in the final version of the bill that was adopted by the Standing Committee and by the National Assembly. And it's also notable that, also sort of related to this process, a broader process looking at transformation in the financial sector took place jointly between the Standing Committee on Finance and the Portfolio Committee on Trade and Industry. And they had major public hearings on financial sector transformation on the 14th of March, the 22nd of March, and the 3rd of May, in which all stakeholders in the financial sector, including stakeholders from the insurance sector, actively participated. And the financial sector transformation report was then finalized by those two committees jointly, and that report was adopted on the 15th of November. And the insurance bill, its deliberations on the insurance bill, the Standing Committee's deliberations, were finalized subsequent to the adoption of the Financial Sector Transformation Report, and the committee carefully examined if those, if generally the insurance bill had been refined to be aligned generally with the recommendations made in that report. And there were very significant discussions and deliberations about how to ensure that the insurance bill was appropriately aligned and addressed the issues and concerns that had been raised during that process. So the bill that was ultimately adopted by the National Assembly was a product of refinement through both the Standing Committee consultation processes and the broader transformation processes, which were quite extensive and really took into consideration and engaged all stakeholders. And so really the process that was adopted was quite thorough, and they really did seek to ensure that concerns were heard and were addressed from all of the various stakeholders, particularly from the emerging entrepreneurs and who are seeking to gain access into the insurance sector and more broadly into the financial sector. So I think that the range of submissions that were received and the consultation process that was engaged upon was very extensive, and it's quite likely that if further submissions were requested by this committee, quite likely I don't think that there would be new issues that would be raised in those submissions, because they were really thoroughly raised previously and were really thoroughly engaged with and considered. So thank you very much.
Thank you for that input. I note Honourable Samandi.
Chair, that we, notwithstanding really the explanation on the processes and participants in the other house, I think the concern by Honourable Isaac is simply specific to the NCOP, and it is a legal position that has a precedence that we have to consult. So therefore, Chair, without delving too much into the debate of whatever around the bill, I think the substance, the importance, and the
the significance lies in the content of the bill, the objectives, and what it seeks to achieve. And obviously, having been part of the other processes of the financial sector, the Twin Peak, where some of the content that is in this insurance bill emanates or evolves. So let's accept that that was an anomaly, that besides the point that it is not a 76, but it would be of importance that NCOP has enough time. And I think it's a message that we must strongly send to the departments, Treasury in particular, that they work with us, that where there is nothing that stops them to give the bill to us or bring the bill into the House. Because processes really, the executive can run its own process as long as they remove the blockage, which would be if they go on public with the bill and they have a draft. That draft, nothing stops that draft to come to Parliament, even as they consult, so that we start our own process, Chair. Because then what it means, for instance, if they start the process, go on their own, they come and they say, and then those people that they consulted come the other side, the end of the hour. When they lose that side, they come this side, when they lost with their own consultant. So let's run our own independent consult. Separation of powers is important. So once they've concluded on the drafts and they are going on public, nothing really changed. You remember, Chair, the process of your white papers, your green papers, but that doesn't stop the bill to come to the process of Parliament. And I think that we need to take that matter quite serious going forward. In any of the bills or any work that needs public consultation, we must take the public and be given chance to talk to the public and consult them. Thank you, Chair.
It is noted. I noted Honourable Makuye.
Thank you, Chairperson. I concur with all three speakers and want to come to the crux of it for me is the process of consultation. But then we need to ask ourselves, why do we want to consult? If I answer for myself, I would say I would want to consult so that I can make an informed decision. Therefore, support the notion of ensuring that we get whatever information is required for us to make an informed decision on the matters before us. However, Chair, I get worried about two things. The one is that we may just get what we want. If we ask for it, we may get it. It's going to be a lot of information to work through. So on some of them, we may want to trust the people that indicate to us that they've done the work and read very selectively with respect. The second thing is, Chair, I want to make a recommendation that maybe what we should do is to look at where do we have all political parties in the NCOP participating. And for me, that would be in the forum of WIPS, where we refer the matter to them so that they can look at it. I know that about 9 months ago, IT section of Parliament came, they took our iPads, they took our cell phones, and they added apps there that would enable us to access all this information that would be available to members of Parliament. We may need to push them that they speed that up. And then what could happen is that all these type of reports can then find a space within those apps that anybody who wants it can go there and get it. Because I'm sure that all of us may not be as enthusiastic as the Honourable Isaac to get all that information and work through it. Because in the party where I'm coming from, Chair, you talk about DTI, I've participated in these matters in a study group that we've discussed these matters in DTI,
And although I'm from the NCOP, it's a combined study group between the National Assembly and the NCOP, and we're able to get that information there because our minister, Rob Davies, is committed to ensuring that what happens at an executive level is communicated with us, who are responsible for the legislative functions there. But it is a party political study group. And I'm saying that, therefore, that approach would not work for the Honourable Gayla and the Honourable Kahuna. We may want to look at another forum where that can be, and for me, that would be on the apps of Parliament. Thank you, Chair.
Any other member? Honourable Monakiri.
Having listened to the inputs by my boss, especially on the issue raised by Honourable Isaac, I want to propose that we indeed note the important point that he has raised, a point that is afforded by other colleagues, the need for us to have adequate time to work on these matters, to have enough time to go out and consult so that indeed we are in a position to take informed decision as we sit at this level to consider these matters. So I'm saying, I think let's agree, note and agree on that. But for the purpose of the matter before us, we take a decision to go along with the recommendation that the chairperson has actually put to us. I think with that note, that going forward, we need to indeed insist that enough time be made available through the processes that have to unfold from whatever angle, so that we are able to also be able to do that consultation process. Thank you.
There's a proposal from Honourable Monakiri that we proceed with the adoption of the bill. Honourable, there's a proposal.
I would want to support you if I can, Chair.
You are a member of the committee for this purposes. I note Honourable Isaac.
Chairperson, thank you again for the last bite on this one.
I've got 2 points on this matter as well.
Okay, yeah. Well, Chairperson, I just wanted to state, seeing that I raised the issue before you put it to the committee, and I take into cognizance the detailed explanation from the lady, and I respect what you say from Treasury. I also hear what Honourable Zimande says. I hear very clearly what Honourable Makue says. I respect all those opinions. I just wanted to mention that, you know, there is the issue of the objectives of the bill, on the one hand, if I can understand it correctly, and then there's the issue of what is the bill seeking to achieve. So when you look at the objectives of the bill, you're obviously expanding the subject in terms of what you plan to achieve. And all I am saying, and I say this with absolute respect, I haven't taken or been part of any public hearings on the subject. I hear the story of what Honourable Makua has to say about apps and whatever, you know. I mean, the stuff is coming at us here. Live right and center.
And going that way, Honourable Isaac, you must just listen to what I'm going to say.
Okay, great. Okay. So, you know, I wanted to just say that, Chairperson, and...
Can we note it?
Based on that...
Yeah, I note it.
I ask that, you know...
We are not ignorant of it.
Yes.
Definitely
yes,
not.
Yes. So that's why, you know, I have a problem with that.
Yes.
And I just say this with absolute respect, and I ask members of the committee and the colleagues to understand where I'm trying to come from. Thank you, Chair.
There was a proposal for adoption. There was a seconder. Honourable members, that implicates that this report is adopted. There are two matters here.
Then before you go ahead, and let it just be put on record and minuted, that the DA would abstain.
Okay.
So that it goes minuted and out record.
It will be captured. There are two matters here. The one is, We passed the financial sector regulation bill that became an act here in March this year. And we said we're going, after a year, we're going to call the stakeholders back to see about the implementation of this act, regulating the financial sector. The insurance people are part of this. Now next year, March, Mr. Rento, this must be in our program, because then it's a year, and we must comply with our own resolution. That will be an opportunity to engage with us as well. And one day won't be enough, that I can assure you, if you go back to the engagement in Gauteng we had on this, on the bill, 2 days. The other point is, when we come back in January, that first week, members will go for training, and I was very well informed it will refer to legislation. One thing that we must do, in referring to Section 75 and Section 77 of the Constitution, is the role of the NCOP in terms of those two sections in the Constitution must be put more clearly, be refined. So that is the music for January. That's where we're going to get our operations more in line. We had the discussion this week about that. So I can assure you that is on the agenda. Not for this committee, but for a bigger... Yes. That's how serious we see this. Thank you, honourable members. That takes us to the last one. Where is it now? The proposed fiscal framework tabled by the Minister of Finance on the 25th of October 2017. We dealt with the revised fiscal framework. And in my presentation as chairperson of the Select Committee for Finance in the NCOP plenary, I referred to this proposed fiscal framework. And in that fiscal framework report was the table referring to the proposed fiscal framework that comes from page 5 of the empty BBS book. It was my request when we dealt with this, at that stage, that table must be put in, because that table deals with the proposed fiscal framework. So what is in front of honourable members now is 99.9% the same what we said in the revised fiscal framework. There was 4 or 5 matters added referring to the mandate paper, which was presented by the Honourable Minister Gadebe in the presidency and alluded to that as well. The rest of the paper is identical. Where's my copy? I made marks. If we go to the recommendations, honourable members, because the rest is precisely the same, there's nothing new. The 7.2 on page 13 about the empty medium-term strategic framework, that whole point 7.2 is new. Because the medium-term strategic framework serves as the monitoring tool. You must go back to that strategic framework and read it again. But that's in terms of how you do your oversight. 7.3 refers to the Prudential Fiscal Committee. That is new. as well as 7.5. The third line, the shortfall in revenue is projected to increase by 69.3 billion rand, 2018-19, so it goes on until 2020, as well as referring to the budget deficit. That was also in my address to the NCP, I alluded to that. Our question of SARS, 7.7. We go to page 16, referring to the CEO's initiative, which is a good initiative, in collaboration with government, the support of the Competition Commission market inquiry into data prices, which on the terrain held Oliver Mokoe, whole matter of SACU, and that is the report on the numbers. So in terms of figures, there is no differences, it's precisely the same because it's the MTPBS. I put this report to the committee.
Chair, you know what is my position. I move for the adoption, but I know, don't worry about the DAT. They've never participated in the fiscal framework.
There's a mover for adoption of the report. Honorable Zimandi moves for seconds the adoption. Thank you, Honorable Zimandi. There's no minutes. Where's the minutes?
Please take one hour to
our... Oh, sorry. Honorable Makwe.
We're not allowed to be rubber stamping exercise.
Order.
I don't know South Africans as a whole.
Why does my mic go green?
Sorry, Chairperson. It's many...
Mine works even if you see some. Chair, I also have a document here, and I could have missed it when you presented it to the House. That's the one on rates and monetary amounts. Oh, that's the first one.
That one is gone by. There was a proposal, Oliver Isaac, I noted your hand.
Yeah, I just wanted the Secretary to note our objections and be a minute or not.
It will be captured in that way.
Please, Chairperson.
Are there minutes? Other members, that
well, then let the Secretary record.
Order, Honorable Isaac. I know you're anxious to get to Mpumalanga. Just wait a bit. Just wait a bit. All the members, that brings us to the end of our meeting, and as I said in the appropriations meeting, I thank all the members for their contributions. We sometimes worked under very difficult circumstances, but we covered the work. Also, thank our best wishes to your loved ones. Also to our staff, thank you for your inputs and your hard work, Advocate Jenkins. And when we come back in 2018, let we work together, because together we can achieve more. I wish you well for the festive season. This meeting stands adjourned. Happened before Merry Christmas.